Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Okay, one word. One word. Tryptophan. That's right, tryptophan. Had plenty of that over the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope everybody had a safe one. I know that I did my part to consume as much tryptophan as I possibly could, as well as all the other goodies that are that come along with tryptophan. So wherever it took you, I hope you had a great time and being with your family, friends, or whoever you wanted to be with. But I am your industrial cheerleader, your voice of the industry, as well as, I'm going to claim it, I'm the number one industrial podcast out there. And I'm so glad that you are here. We have a great show this week. And once again, we're going to highlight a gentleman by the name of Mr. Mark Hernandez. He's got an incredible amount of experience, as well as go through the BIC magazine and find out some great articles associated with the industry. And once again, thank you very much for being here. And I hope you enjoy the show. So let's get right to it as we speak. All right, welcome. I went up to Tennessee. I went up to Tennessee for my tryptophan overdose, and it was great. That's a beautiful state, by the way. It's wonderful people as well as just everything else that's about Tennessee. But the drive was beautiful, and it was cool and nippy a little bit out there. But back at the helm and ready to hit it. So this week we got a gentleman by the name of Mark Hernandez. We're going to talk a little bit about his background and that interview that's going to happen. And in keeping with the premise behind the Industrial Talk podcast is continuous learning. And I noticed that last week's BIC magazine, the publisher's summary for Mr. Earl Heard. He talks about the importance of continuous learning. So with that, in today's, December and January's BIC magazine, there is a wonderful article out there about effective leadership. Now, of course, there's tons of stuff. These guys produce a tremendous publication. And if you're truly a person who is dedicated to learning, you've got to go out there. You got to go out to their website, and you got to get this information because it's soup to nuts. It's A to Z. It's Alpha Omega, that type of stuff when it comes to the industry. And this particular article that I'm looking at, which is really good, clean, precise, direct to the point, is about effective leader. And the person's name is Kerry Siggins. I hope I'm saying that name because I definitely butcher names. And by the way, I have to apologize because I think I messed up BIC's name last week. So my sincere apologies. It is BIC Magazine, BIC Alliance, and they've got a lot going on here. So back to the effective leadership article. The writer talks about the six components of effective leadership, and I'll just go through them real quick. One of the items that stands out is connect through regular one-on-one meetings. Now, I know for me personally, when I with my people, I try to do that as much as I possibly can, but I do fail. I can do it even better, no doubt. We all get busy, and we don't make it a priority. But the number one, let's connect through regular one-on-one meetings with those individuals. Right seat in the bus, which is an interesting analogy when you get right down to it. And I have that word picture of right seat on the bus. All they're talking about here is do you have the right people in the right place in the right bus, you know, to leverage their skills and abilities to the best? Let's set them up for success. Continuous improvement, that's self-explanatory. Are you in the world of continuous improvement, continuous learning? If you're a manager within the industrial space, if you're a manager wherever in manufacturing, it doesn't really matter. There has to be a commitment of continuous learning and continuous improvement. Now, good decision making, we you know, it that's true because we we've got to make good decisions, because once you make good decisions, people follow you, and that's a mark of a good leader. For me personally, I've made a bunch of bad decisions, but you get back up, you get the scuffed knees, and you get back up, and I think that that's also a reflection of a good leader too as well. Let's rally the teams around a big picture by trying it to. I'm butchering this, by the way. Rally teams around the bigger picture by trying it to the daily picture, or tying it to the daily picture. I can't see it worth a lick because I am old now. And tying it to the daily picture. So try to create that ability to be able to link A to B on the bigger picture of your company, and that's a great thing. And radically candid. For me personally, I like that one most because we're into the time, right? We want to make sure that we optimize our time and we effectively do our, you know, manage that time. And one of the things to properly manage time is, of course, effective communication and being really candid. So my recommendation is to get the latest BIC magazine. This is December and January. There's a ton of other articles out there, wonderfully written, concise, to the point. And I got to tell you, man, when I look at the magazine myself, and I always look at all of the graphics, I mean, there's tons of stuff out there, and the graphics are just fantastic too. Call me weird, but I do like all that good stuff. So get the latest version of BIC magazine, and that is December and January, and you'll get all this good information. Now on to the interview. A gentleman came to me, and his name is Mark Hernandez. And what makes Mark sort of unique within the business, he's got a tremendous amount of background within the industry space. He was a scaffolder builder, and so he started in humble beginnings, and he's really worked himself up and through the ranks and to the point where he's a published author, and it was great really talking to him. So he's going to inspire you. He's got some great stories. He understands the industry. He understands what it means to be within the manufacturing area. So I just would like to introduce you to a wonderful person by the name of Mark Hernandez. Enjoy. Well, I'm here with Mr. Mark Hernandez. I appreciate you spending time and making time in your day. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks, Scott, for the opportunity to talk to your folks and about leadership and serving and adding value.
Are you kidding me, man? We're fortunate to have you. I just want to let everybody know he's a busy man, and it was difficult to get on his calendar here and there. And like I said, he's got a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to dive into a lot of his background, which is quite extensive. I think you've touched pretty much every industry known to man out there. Is that correct?
Just about everything from retail to manufacturing to sawmill, paper, pulp, chemical refinery, petrochem, shipyard, you name it, we've been there. And I think the shortest one was shipyard. I was there like 6 months and left.
What was that all about? How come you,
I don't know.
If my background.
You ever been in the shipyard, Scott?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not for the faint of heart, but is industry as a whole? I don't know of too many sites and locations that are. I mean, it's definitely a challenging work, but it's definitely meaningful. So, understand. So, hey, I noticed that you are a published author, and you got a couple of books out there: Bigger Purpose, Stories That Inspire, which is a pretty doggone good name, and then Business Leader Success, Volume 4, An Introduction to Elite Business Leaders. Now, Mark, what are you currently doing now?
I am currently a full-time safety specialist, advanced safety specialist for Marathon Petroleum. It will soon be the second largest refinery in the U.S. And I'm also a speaker, trainer, and coach. I do workshops, leadership development under Multiply Leadership, which is a passion of mine to help organizations and individuals multiply their purpose and passion and help them accelerate performance.
Now, you're saying you're a full-time employee with Marathon, but you're located where? What refinery?
In Texas City.
And what fascinated me about this opportunity to talk to you, just outside of the simple fact that you're in the petrochemical industry and you're in the safety area is how you're marrying or marriage, bringing together, let's put it that way, bringing together the your leadership training through the John Maxwell program and how you implement that within the organizational confinements of Marathon. And we also understand the from a corporate point of view how you know they have their own ways. And so that's why this conversation is really interesting. Talk to me about that.
It's one of the things that I've learned is being able to, again, the companies multiply. So adding, serving is that's what I do. And at having the opportunity to serve that large of a group, which is like 3,000 contractors, having over 20 plus years of safety experience, which is great. And no, I'm again, having a master's and a certifications and technical knowledge, it's necessary. It's very necessary, Scott. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with people. And to effectively create and sustain positive change and impact in an organization and a team, you need to have the skills, the soft skills, the leadership, the influence, persuasion, motivation, those type of skills to truly understand what is needed, what's the gap. For example, if I was a safety professional, go out in the field and let's just say do an audit at your facility, and I find some hazards, and you're with me, Scott, and let's just say you're at higher awareness with hazard recognition, you're going to find more things than me. Why? For the simple fact you have a higher awareness with hazard recognition. And it's the same field with leadership and soft skills. If I do not possess those skills, I cannot identify what the gaps are. And if I can't identify what the gaps are, guess what? We can't build any bridges.
The what's interesting, Mark, is so I'm pretty pragmatic in how I look at things. And in this particular situation, we had this conversation briefly. You bring a certain set of skills to the table that differentiates you from definitely there are a lot of other individuals that do a great job with leadership training and coaching and so on. But you've got that background in definitely the industrial space. The question I have for you is, as you look at a company, as you look at it, what's that biggest challenge? So, you know, the companies just keep on moving and chugging along. What are those big challenges within those companies?
I would just say just that, what you said, the constant moving. In today's marketplace, everything is so fast-paced. So, I mean, if you can't keep up with the change, it's gonna pass you by. I think that is one of our biggest challenges. So in high performance habits, Brendon Burchard talks about high performance habit number one is seeking clarity. Seeking clarity, I can't know what I need to do unless I have clarity.
But Mark, how do you stop people from? I mean, even that is like, you got to stop and you got to say, okay, let's figure out what that clarity is. How do you do that? Because I got to tell you, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, they first have to recognize they're just moving too fast. For example, if you and I are driving on the road and it's only 50 miles an hour and we go 70, we're gonna get a ticket.
But you're in Texas, it doesn't matter. Just kidding. No, don't. Texas fans, don't even say, hey, Scott was
in there. It does get to 75 in some places.
It's 80 out west, man. It's really fast out there. Go ahead.
But the I think what's key here is when we're going too fast, we don't see things clearly. And I think that is very, very important. For example, If I'm just moving, using a Gantt chart and doing all these things, I don't have the opportunity to ask you, Scott, what do you think? How can I make sure that we're doing this right? What can we make sure that we have the tools and resources? Why? Because we get so caught up in the busyness of doing things instead of doing the right thing. And I think at the end of the day, it gets us caught up in that whole busyness. And to be honest, if you just take, for example, Toys R Us, I think is a very, very good example of what happens when we don't have clarity and we get caught up in being comfortable, if you will. Toys R Us just went bankrupt.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's sort of the sign of the times too with brick and mortar. However, I'm going to coin a term because I've been contemplating that. I call that corporate riptide. People find themselves getting into that riptide and they can't get out unless they swim, you know, perpendicular to it. And and the challenge that I see that you have that has to be addressed is how do you get them to stop and realize that we're just going on and we just will not stop. And of course, being in the safety, that's a big deal too.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm going to go back to a military term that when we were using, and if we're marching, we all have to march to the same beat, the same time, the same rhythm. And if I say, if you're the ARPOC and you say right flank march and I move the wrong way, well, guess what? That wrong movement, that wrong timing causes something, a disruption. And that disruption is dysfunction at the end of the day. And so for us to be able to slow down, if you will, and just step back and regroup, look at every team, every professional team. If we were playing football and you were the quarterback and you saw something that was not in alignment with our desired outcome that we set out in practice, you would call a what? You would call an audible. You would call an audible. Because if we do not call an audible, what's going to happen? Guess what? We're not going to create the desired outcome that we set out to do, which is win the game. We didn't come onto the playing field to lose a game, and there's not an organization or team that shows up to a facility or site that desires to lose a game. But when we're caught up in the business, we cannot step back and call an audible because things are so fast. And I think for many organizations, it's real important to make sure that on the front side, we're very clear on our desired outcome. Not only that, that we've equipped our team members with the tools and resources on how to achieve that desired outcome. Because if I don't have the tools and resources on how to create that desired outcome and I have not been equipped, then guess what? I only get halfway there. And we didn't show up on the game to get halfway there. We showed up to play full on and get from, you know, yard one all the way to the end of the end zone. And that is very important because today's industrial sectors are so fast-paced. So, we hear the terms of, you know, you have to go lean, you have to watch budgets, which are important. But if we lose sight of our people, I mean, the greatest capital we have is our people. We have to invest in our people. We have to equip our people. We have to give them the tools and resources. But my grandmother said, if you want dessert, you have to eat what's on your plate first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's important for us to realize that we can't have dessert if we're just constantly putting things on our plate, because that becomes more busyness added to what we already have. And I think clarity is very important, not just in today's marketplace, but in our daily lives. I mean, if you step back and say, well, you know, somebody will say, Mark, I can multitask. Well, the science says multitasking is not effective. It's not sustainable. Actually, it deprives clarity. It deprives insight. It deprives the individual of creating some really good ideas, crafting some really good concepts that will lie dormant. Otherwise, they have the capacity to give you some really, really good insight. And I think when we just get caught up in that business, guess what? There's a lot of strain. There's a lot of stress there. But if you and I were to sit on a beach and, you know, you would have your pina colada with the little...
I'd get nothing done, Mark. Yeah, just
get nothing done.
Between you and me, it would be nothing done. Maybe surf a little bit here. Nothing. But go ahead.
That's calm.
Yeah.
See, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And harmony comes when we know who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it.
How do you, Marathon's a massive company. Mm-hmm. And how do you affect within that environment, how do you affect that clarity, that calm? And I'm sorry, I have to break it off real quick. We're going to break for just a minute. We'll come back. We're going to answer that question. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk podcast, and we'll be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I've got Mr. Mark Hernandez here, and we're talking a lot about leadership and some of the things that were very interesting to me, and that's clarity and being able to provide some sense of clarity within that organization, because the question I had was, what's causing some of a lot of these problems? And he's saying, okay, constant moving, clarity. So that's where we're at. Before the break, I asked specifically, you work at Marathon. These are great principles. How do you create a sense of calm in an environment of 3,000 plus people? I don't know. All I know is it's a lot of work and a lot of activity going on.
That's correct. It is a lot of work. It's a lot of investment. I'm going to use the word investment. It's just a shift. Now, when I say investment versus time, it's just the framing of mentally, because I see it as an investment. And I think that too goes back and ties to clarity, because if I frame it as an investment, it's an opportunity versus having to do the time. See, that to me is, it's from a different space. It's more of a serving. I see it as an opportunity. Now, a couple things with respect to how we've done some crazy results there at the facility. Number one is I just sat back when I first got there for like a couple weeks, and I wanted to identify who the key influencers are. Again, we're talking about clarity. How do I get from point A to point B with this organization, team, or group? So I first tried to identify key influencers. Then I said, hey, come over here. And so I started investing time, effort, resources in those individuals. So before I asked them to do something, I had to invest in them first. I had to make deposits and relationships first. I had to demonstrate that I care for them first. So leaders are always the first, and it's very important.
Yeah, but that takes time, man. It takes time over, you know. I would love for you to come to me and say, Scott, you got a lot of issues. Yeah, here, let's start with that relationship. That doesn't happen overnight, right?
No, it doesn't.
That takes time to develop those relationships.
Well, are you married, Scott?
Absolutely. I got two kids. Okay. They're great. So they're wonderful. And a dog behind me right now.
So awesome. Just like when you and I saw our beautiful spouses that, you know, we had to do what? We had to take the first step. Then we had to do the first ask. Right. Then we asked them to dinner. Then we asked them to marry us. It's the same concept when we're dealing with individuals.
They're just uglier. Use your analogy right there, but just a little uglier.
Some could be. I mean, there's some that we call cave people, you know, citizens against virtually everything, just those individuals.
Yes. That's great. Hold it.
They just wish it was Friday. It's Friday and wishing it was next Friday. And you have those individuals too. And so with respect to the how we created that, now I started kind of molding the team and under what I called an engagement team. And these individuals are those individuals that we use every year to do any type of campaign from the contractors. And so it sounds simple, but it does take a lot of investment.
Yeah. And okay. So that's a segue into a topic that I want to talk. Mm-hmm. Okay. What makes a good leader?
An individual that's
a real leader.
A real leader. An individual that builds relationships, builds and fosters relationships that creates lasting results. I mean, if you look at John Maxwell himself, I mean, he has poured into thousands upon thousands of people. And just the John Maxwell team alone started with 500. Now they're 10,000 over 100 countries.
Yeah, he has a heck of a Rolodex. That's for sure. He doesn't need LinkedIn.
But he started with one. He started with the vision. They grew from a vision to a concept to a strategy. And for it to become fruition, he had to build relationships to where now it's part of his legacy now. It's part of our legacy. And at the end of the day, we have a day we're born, a day we're going to die, and it's the dash. Mm-hmm. It's all about the dash. What are we doing a day? What am I doing a day? What is Mark doing a day to build that and foster that relationship with the individual that's right across from me, that's on my right, it's on my left, that I can help them in a greater way to where they can be and do more and become a better person. The second thing that makes a great leader is you equip people. Now, equipping is hard. I mean, I would ask anybody out there, how many of you guys started your career as a master electrician, master millwright, master carpenter? None of us did. I know I didn't.
I was a journeyman lineman, I was a grommet. I dug ditches. Let's put it that way.
I didn't even know it was a pipe fitter helper, Scott. They called me gopher. I was like, okay.
They called me grunt. How's that?
Go for this and go for that. But one of the things, in order for us to fully get our teams to the next level, is we have to equip people. The biggest gap in our industry right now, Scott, is not contracts, is not locations, is not facilities. You know what the biggest gap in our industry is? It's called talent management. We don't have enough qualified individuals. And why is that? Because we're not investing in them, and we're not equipping them so that they can see, hey, I see a Scott over there. Hey, check him out. He's been coming to work. He's got a good attitude. He's got this. I need to invest in them. As a matter of fact, if I was to ask anybody out there who came beside you along your career and gave you the tools of the trade, I call that information, the speed of access. As a matter of fact, when I was on my tool, there was a gentleman. He was like 55 years old. We called him Don Oliver. He came beside me. I thought I know how to build a scaffold after a year and a half. Oh, my gosh. This guy had 15 years. He just deposited 15 years into me. 15 years. Now, after those talks and those conversations, he mentored me, but he also multiplied his capacity and influence and transferred it into me. Mm-hmm. So that when I went out there and started building the scaffolds, guess what? What did it do to performance? It accelerated. What did it do for safety? It improved it. What did it do for optimization of the organization?
But once again, in the environment of constantly moving and mm-hmm. lack of clarity, are you saying that this talent management, this gap, shall we say, or coin, it just doesn't happen? I'll give you a case in point. Me being a journeyman lineman long ago, I started out as a groundman. And then I went through an apprenticeship program, and then I went through a double-step program to be a journeyman lineman so that I could climb towers and poles and all that good stuff. And I don't see that apprenticeship approach as much as I did back then. And so all my learning came from all those old guys that were been there forever. So why is that the case now? What are we doing here in this country that we don't do that? Because we got the people, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why don't we invest?
We invest because it costs.
Aha. So we're looking at sort of a quarterly return. We're always looking at that financial statement, and that's a cost. That's a bottom line, $1 for $1, blah, blah, blah.
I would say cost, investment cost. There's a dollar cost, but there's an investment cost physically. I have to pour into you. Just like Don Oliver poured into me, it was time investment. And true mentorship, When we really want to equip people, and if you ran track, I ran track when I was in high school.
Yeah, I was a shot put discus thrower.
You were
a
shot put discus?
Oh, yeah. Okay, no,
you guys were on the back of the bus.
We ate a lot of McDonald's. That's what we did.
and what was cool is I remember we ran the quarter relay. Now, in order for us to win, it's four guys. Each has their leg. But in order for us to win, we have to pass the baton correctly. And that's what we do when we truly equip people. We're taking knowledge, experience, and training, and we're transferring it as a baton to that individual so that when they're encounter situation, scenario, guess what? They not only have clarity on what they need to do, they know how they need to do it. And that is powerful because in today's marketplace, I mean, change is going to happen. It's not a matter of when. It's going to happen, I guarantee you. I mean, look.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so we have to be, for example, I ask organizations all the time, if you have, let's just say you have 20 supervisors, superintendents, and five of them left with that each had 20 years of experience, would it leave a small gap or a big gap? They all say a big gap. Okay, so what are you doing with the gap? What are you doing with that gap? You know, you get hired, you recruit, you retrain, but guess what? We need to keep the people here. How is it that Zappos can keep people? How is it that Google can keep people? But, you know, us in the industry, we can't keep people.
I got to tell you, that's a serious challenge. Because yes. For us as a country to continue to move forward, we have a huge manufacturing base. Yes. And the younger people, for lack of a better term, they are pursuing other careers other than those industrial type of professions, and right. And that's a whole topic for another, you know, yes. podcast. But man, I got to tell you, it's huge, and there's got to be a tactical strategic focus on being able to address that, because before you know it, that. Mm-hmm. That will be, it's going to just happen. Hi, I'm retired. Boom, they're gone. Yeah. And then you have nobody to replace them. That's
and
huge.
Actually, there's a white paper that came out from the Construction User Roundtable that calls it a national crisis. Because if you don't have qualified people, what does it do for your contracts? You have to push them back. What do you do when you push back a contract? Well, jobs get delayed. What do you do when you push back jobs? PM doesn't get done. What do you do when you push back PM? It emphasizes quality, safety, production. I mean, there's a whole slew of the ripple effect is used, all because we did not effectively equip people.
I interviewed a gentleman by the name of John Grubbs, and we talked about millennials and the impact on that. And that's that. Like I said, that's a whole nother topic. Now I'm looking at your information here, and I'm looking at you've got two more points specifically for a real leader.
Yes, attitude is huge. How many of you guys know that he showed up on Friday? He's wishing it was next Friday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In our industry, we said that there's individual, we call them cave people, citizens against virtually everything. They're grumpy, they're grindy, they just show up like that. I love what Les Brown says. He says, there's some people that are so negative when they walk into a dark room, they develop.
Yeah, it's so true.
They're just so negative.
Yep.
Now, you may have them in your work site. I mean, they're all over the place. The world is full of them. Uh-huh. And now the thing about it is, what about you? What about me? How is our attitude? Is our attitude worth being followed? Because guess what? Everybody is being looked at. And if you're in a position, let's just say you're a supervisor, manager, CEO, what have you, does your attitude bring forth something that's positive into your organization, to your meeting, that is in alignment with the desired results you want? Because if you go to a meeting, have you ever been to a meeting and the guy just like harping and just, I mean, you're like, dude, when are you going to hurry up and finish? Because, man, it's like UFC, man. You're just giving me elbows.
Yeah, that's right.
You're just giving me elbows, you know?
Yeah, great reference, man.
You're just giving me elbows. But if you turn around and realize that if you just recognize your team member for the contribution they give to your team, the contribution of their time, their effort, their sacrifice of showing up and giving your best, man. One supervisor said, Mark, well, I don't recognize nobody for showing up on time, or I don't recognize somebody for doing their job. That's what they're supposed to. They get paid to do it.
Thinking is gone, or it has to be, and it's going to be gone because that's old thinking.
That old school. And I ask him, sir, let me ask you a question. do you watch football, basketball, track, something? And he said, yeah, football. I said, so what's the name of your team? He mentioned the name of his team. And I said, let me ask you a question, sir. Well, have you ever been to a game? He said, yes. Are you one of those crazy raving fans that jumps up and paints the face? You know, because we got some crazy fans, man. They do some crazy stuff when they put them. And he says, yeah, I'm not that crazy, but I like my team. So if your team makes a winning touchdown, what do? He says he stands up, he cheers, he gets crazy just like everybody else. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you ever recognize your team members? I mean, you don't know that guy.
Right.
The one who just scored the touchdown, but you just stood up, gave him you practically just recognized him and you applauded and you did all this stuff. But the guy who's with you on a daily basis, giving you 8, 10, 12, 6, whatever that time is, how about recognizing him? You don't even know that guy. But guess what? We spend more time at work than we do at home sometimes. See, our attitude at the end of the day, we can control that. We are the deciding factor in that. And when we decide to come to work because it's an awesome opportunity, one gentleman said that we have a time where new supervisor and managers come and he stood up and said, I've been pushing a crew. He introduced him, said, I've been pushing a crew for 20 years, you know, one of them guys, like guys in the shipyard.
Oh yeah.
And it didn't sit well with me. You know, it didn't sit well.
Right, right.
So I said, sir, let me ask you a question. I went to him to just say, you're the guy, Steve Scott. And I extended my hand. I said, how you doing, sir? My name is Mark. And you don't push a crew. You have the awesome opportunity every day to lead a crew to success. He kind of looked at me kind of bogged eyed. And I just kind of repeated it just so he doesn't forget it.
Right.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, hold that thought, Mark. We got a break. We're running up against a hard break here. Thank you, everyone, for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. I like to learn, and I like to have fun. And when I can put them both together, learning and having fun, well, that's a match made in heaven. That's why I put together a drawing for a Louisiana fish excursion, as well as the 2018 Mardi Gras once-in-a-lifetime event. You can find more about this information, about this two wonderful opportunities at the Industrial Talk website at industrialtalk.com. We're back with Mr. Mark Hernandez. We're talking a lot about leadership, a lot of good stuff. And before we broke, we got into what are the real leaders, and we talked about the building those relationships, equipping people, that talent management, which is a challenge, the attitude that people can bring or you bring as a leader, bring to your A game and always being available. But there's one more point that we have not touched upon, and I'm looking at your bio here, and it's leadership. So what we got, relationship, equip, attitude, and now leadership. Talked about that leadership a little bit.
Well, you know, it's been said that everything rises and falls on leadership. And if it does, then the question begs, what am I doing to make sure that my team rises to the full potential? And as a leader, we need to be able to, it's not title. It's not what you have on your last name. I know a lot of really, really smart people that have, you know, titles behind their last name that are longer than their last name. But they cannot lead effectively. And so it's very important for us in today's marketplace. Is very, very fast paced, very, very, acquisitions are being, switched over, companies are switching names fast, things are going on. And leaders need to be able to see that. They need to be able to see those things. Why?
Yeah.
Because leaders are always the first to do what? They first to say, the first to reach out, first to say, I'm sorry, first to move, first to see if there's energy that's lacking, they're giving energy. And it's very hard. You know, I mean, some people say, you know, well, I don't want to do that leading thing. Well, guess what? If you're in a position that requires us to be a leader, let's just step up. Let's just step up. Why? Because I guarantee you, your team, your organization, your community, your family is asking you to step up. And guess what? When we step up, your team steps up. And when your team steps up, you're marching to the same cadence. I remember when I was in the Navy, we could not march the first week, Scott. We could not march to help us because we got like 300 people that we don't know each other, and you get a bunch of people together. And just like a team, you get a bunch of people together, but they all have a leader, and that leader's role is to get them to march together. Why? So that when you graduate, you don't look like a bunch of fools up there, you know, all jumbled up, just moving.
Right.
See, we don't need to move people. We need to lead people. And when we lead people, they know what they need to do, how they need to do it, and why they need to do it. And as a leader, we give direction. We give guidance. We give the coaching that's needed.
Right.
And sometimes what's interesting is I attended a safety conference not too long ago, and an individual said, well, what do you do with this individual? He keeps messing up. Well, how many times do you mess up?
I'll eventually hire him probably. <you know?
laughs> How many times is it necessary? Now, from a safety perspective, there's a big difference between somebody who just messes up in a flagrant disregard for safety. Or others. I get that. But I said, how patient are you, was my response. How patient are you? Because somebody was patient with you. And he kind of looked at me like, yeah, somebody was patient with me. And it's very important that we as leaders realize that, guess what? We're not that good. We're not that good. Because if we were, we wouldn't need a team. And because we need a team, why don't we lead them effectively? Why don't we recognize that, hey, they're the best thing that we have is our team. The best quality that we can give them is the best version of ourselves. And the best version of ourselves is being a good leader,
right?
Being authentic, being transparent, being very good in our communication and things of that nature. Why? Because at the end of the day, think about this for a second. If leadership, if you take two, if you're building a bridge and you got individuals on both sides, the bridge that builds it is trust. You can only do that with leadership. And if you do not build the trust needed to sustain positive growth, to build and foster a good culture, without it, it's not going to go far. With it, it will go the mile. With it, guess what? You will not only go the distance that needed, you will probably surpass that. You create best practice, you create lessons learned, and guess what? One day they will write about you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
One day they'll write about you and say, Scott was doing all this great stuff.
Because Scott's not that good looking, so it had to be something something beyond that. So,
yeah.
Hey, I hate to do this, but I want to shift because there's a topic here that we've got to really cover and got to cover it relatively quick, and that's the four principles and practices for accelerating performance, because we talk specifically about that constant movement. And in that environment, that chaos that always happens, that I'm intrigued by what those four principles are.
Well, let's just start with relationships. Relationships is all about one of the practice with relationships is when you look at an individual, keep a 10 above them. Now, when I say that you say, what do you mean, Mark? You just see them as a 10. See them as a 10.
And you're saying 10 as in T-E-N?
Yeah, the number 10.
Yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm. If I see you as a 10, Scott, I'm going to treat you as a 10 because my relationships require me to see you as a 10. And guess how I see you is how I treat you. And it's very important for us to make sure that every day, we do that. Now, with equipping is very important. And the practice with that is for me to get good first. You say, well, Mark, that's easy. I just do what I do. No. If you're good technical, that's great. But guess what? Find the one skill. If you need to be a better communicator, then become better in communication. If you need to become better in motivation, become better in motivation. Then I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do this right now. Jot down the one name that comes to mind that you can mentor for 6 months. What's the one person that you can invest in for 6 months? Why? Because after you do that, you will feel better for yourself.
Well, I'm guessing I'm going to be giving you a call.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, here it is.
You invest in them, and guess what? you equip them, and you don't ask for nothing in return. Attitude. One of the things with attitude is very important is to remember that there's always people watching us. And one of the things with attitude is mentally understand that I have the opportunity to create awesome things today. For example, if I just come to work and I say I'm going to do a J-O-B or if I'm going to do something, I have to keep a positive attitude. I have to keep a positive attitude. And how do I do that? From a framework mentally, I say I have the awesome opportunity today to serve and add value. That's, I mean, it's on a 3x5 card in my cubicle. Why am I here? I'm here to serve and add value. But how I do that in the field, I mentally, it's an intention, actually. It's a mental intention that I ask myself, hey, before I'm going to do this, go into this meeting, hey, I have the awesome opportunity to deliver this presentation. I have the awesome opportunity. And what it does, it primes me to deliver my best version. Leadership. Now, leading others is difficult but gratifying. Now, one of the things with leadership is ask yourself these two questions every day. Ask yourself, who and how can I add value to daily? You say, well, Mark, that's easy. That's easy. Who and how? Well, no, it's not easy if you're doing it. it becomes easy if you're not doing it. You say, Mark, well, who and how? Well, who is anybody? How? You become creative. How is a smile? How is a gesture? How is a high five? Why, you say? Because every follower, Scott, every follower is asking three questions of their leader. They're asking, can I trust you? Do you care? And can you help me? Every follower is asking those three questions of every leader, every CEO, every manager, every individual that's in a position, a capacity to influence positive change. Now, if I go out there every day and ask myself, who and how can I serve and add value to daily? Guess what? I'm answering those three questions. Right. I'm increasing influence. I'm building positive relationships. My attitude is one that says I have an awesome opportunity. I'm effectively equipping others through the transferring of the messaging that I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to lead effectively. Oh, our industry needs leaders. Our industry has a vast number of managers. But we need, it's a desperate cry of leadership that stands up and say, hey, I have the awesome opportunity to lead this team to success every single day. And they do it with enthusiasm. They do it with the vibrancy. They do it with the sense that says, that is my purpose. That is why I was called to be placed in this position. And when we see that, Scott, we're going to see a transformation. Why? Because it will happen. It happens. And when we see the transformation, guess what? Just as one site goes, the rest of the site can do the same thing. Right. And we have a bunch of sites.
Well, I got to tell you, I hate to wrap this up, but I have to wrap it up because we can go on for hours and hours and hours. And this is in line with my passion for constantly learning. And this is just something that you've touched upon some great points. It'll all be wrapped up. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for spending time and sharing with us those points of leadership. And I guarantee you, man, it's I guess I'm going to be coming to you because I'm looking for a mentor for 6 months, and that's number two. And you said you're going to give it to me for free. So it's I'm ready to move on. Thank you very much, Mark, and definitely be safe out there. And thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I will be right back. Hey, I'd like to quickly thank Mark Hernandez for taking time out of his busy schedule because he is a busy man. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's got a lot of wisdom out there. If you want to find out more about Mark, get him in there and have him sort of mentor some of your people. You can find him out there. He's got a Twitter handle. And it's Chief Multiplier. No dash, no underscore, no nothing. It's just Chief Multiplier, as well as find him out at LinkedIn. And so that's Mark Hernandez. Looking at it, yeah, you can find it. It's Mark Hernandez out there. And whatever you guys do this week, make it a safe one. Thank you very much. Recover from your tryptophan overdose, because I am still trying to overcome that. And now we're into Christmas, and we got a bunch of sweets. So anyway, be safe out there and enjoy the week. And thank you very much for once again joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. And we will see you next week.